You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Peltoncast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Caracino.
And we are coming to you live from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks.
And kind of a big day for arena news in Seattle. And I feel like maybe a day where there was some misinformation spread. So felt like it would be important to give some context to what actually happened today.
I would certainly say some confusion if you're not someone who's been paying close attention to the arena process. I mean, it's a confusing process even for me as someone who is paying very close attention to this arena process.
Yes.
But the milestone today on Wednesday as we record this is that the City of Seattle Mayor Ed Murray officially selected the Oakview Group as the winner of the request for proposals to renovate Q Arena, which of course came as no surprise.
Yes, because the other group pulled out. They won the one horse race.
Yeah.
They made it around the track.
What became increasingly clear, it was already clear, but even more clearer today, is that Seattle Partners pulled out with their scorched earth withdrawal letter, which we talk about at length on this week's normal podcast, which, you know, you can take a listen to. I had thoughts on that, it's fair to say.
Yes.
They did that because of the fact that Oakview had, in fact, already been chosen at that point.
Yes.
And the mayor decried the leaks in the
oh,
city
God,
hall.
That was the real story?
Yeah, that is the real story. So, very timely.
Okay, so they were chosen out of one. What else happened today?
So they held a press conference to announce this, and Oakview put on a really good show, I think, to their credit. Brought out representatives of all three other local teams, including Adrian Hanauer, the owner of the Seahawks, Peter McLaughlin, the president of the... I'm sorry, did I say Adrian Hanauer was the owner of the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Owner of the Sounders, Peter McLaughlin, the president of the Seahawks, who replaced Tim Leiwicki of Oakview. His brother Todd formerly was the CEO of the Seahawks and First and Goal, which also includes the Portland Trailblazers, had Irving Azoff, the legendary music agent who is part of the Oakview Group. Sadly, we did not see Jim Dolan of MSG, which is also part of this because of the fact that his band, JD and the Straight Shot, had a performance this evening.
JD and the Straight Shot?
They did.
He calls them gigs.
I'm sure he
did. he had a gig today.
We were told that Joe Walsh of the Eagles was there. I didn't see him.
Oh, at the show.
No, at the press conference.
He was watching JD. He's part of the Straight Shot.
The Eagles may or may not be performing at Key Arena if it gets renovated.
Is that part of the deal? Wait, which one was the Pearl Jam? Is that the
Pearl Jam is also part of this group.
Okay.
And I think Irving Azoff did say that they wanted to, or maybe it was the guy from Live Nation, but that they wanted to perform the first show at a renovated Key Arena.
Okay.
So there you go.
But JD and the Straight Shot are actually going to play the show.
Then the other bit of news that came out as part of this press conference, a couple other things, but the biggest other thing that came out of this is Oakview introducing as part of their group David Bonderman and Jerry Bruckheimer, who look like they're going to be the point people as far as owning an NHL team if one is granted via expansion or is moved to Seattle.
Okay, so this is the primary new thing that came out.
Right.
So a lot of the story today felt like people were saying that this was chosen, that's it.
Right.
Which, as we'll talk about in a little bit, is not the case.
And very much
not the case. Was, we talked about this yesterday. This was destined to happen. This was already set. Nothing new happened today. But the new thing that did happen today was these two partners.
Yeah, and they're significant additions to the group. So Jerry Bruckheimer is obviously the more famous one, is one of the more notable TV and movie producers of the last three decades. Maybe three plus decades at this point, produced Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun. He produces all the CSIs, the various different...
Has probably been mentioned on the television show Entourage.
That seems likely, yeah.
That's how famous he is.
David Bonderman is interesting because of the fact that he brings some local ties to this group. He's a UW graduate who is the founder of TPG Capital, and his net worth was most recently estimated by Forbes at $2.5 billion. So
okay.
He brings significant financial credentials to the group, as well as the fact that he's a minority owner currently of the Boston Celtics.
Okay, so does have some NBA contacts.
Yeah, and this adds to the fact that the Oakview Group, obviously MSG is a part of it, then also Jeremy Jacobs, the owner of the Boston Bruins, runs Delaware North, which is the concessions partner that they've teamed up with for this proposal.
Interesting. But so these two, Bruckheimer and Bonderman, are most likely hockey owners.
Yeah, I mean, clearly Bonderman has some interest in basketball as well based on his part ownership of the Celtics. But previously, and he would have to divest that if he were to be an owner of a new iteration of the Sonics in Seattle, but previously Bonderman and Bruckheimer teamed up to try to bring the NHL to Las Vegas in about 2007. And then as a result of the subsequent financial crisis, they were unable to get the financing for that arena that would have been built at that point by AEG when it was run by Tim Leiwicki of Oakview. And so they kind of gave up on that. Eventually an arena was built, and now NHL is coming to Las Vegas with an expansion team, but with a different group. So this is now their new effort to get in terms of hockey.
Okay. What about for the other group? Was there any news for them for the Soto group?
Yeah, so as we mentioned on this week's regular podcast, they Chris Hansen, Russell Wilson briefly, Wally Walker, and then I believe the Nordstroms, although I couldn't actually see them specifically, were at the Civic Cocktail this evening talking about their proposal and their plan and the state of that. And the biggest newsy bit that came out of that was Chris Hansen saying that they expect soon to post a letter from J.P. Morgan confirming their ability to finance the arena privately. Very similar, he said, to the one that Oakview posted from Goldman Sachs.
Okay.
The other thing that was kind of notable was Wally Walker saying that he talked to council members who told him that they still consider Soto a viable project, which is kind of a different tone than we've heard at times from the media and even perhaps from the mayor.
Yeah, so I guess my question is, what does this mean going forward? Because there is this confusion about what today's events meant. I think a lot of people are looking at it as, and maybe this is the story that has been... the attempt has been to lead with, but people are looking at it as if Key Arena is a done deal. This is the proposal. So what does this mean going forward?
Yeah, and that was sort of the rhetoric around the press conference. This is the nature of press conferences. They're not going to be talking about, well, maybe we might be able to do this with city council approval. But, you know, the important thing to note here is the mayor will continue to be involved in negotiations with the Oakview Group. One thing that he made clear is that they do not see this as a finalized deal at this point, that they seek improvements from Oakview in terms of, you know, the financing of this deal, which is calling for significant reinvestment of, you know, potential city taxes.
Okay.
There's also the design of the project. The community advisory panel that was advising the mayor on this, you know, raised some concerns about how it meets the street in terms of First Avenue in front of the arena, and then also, you know, how it interacts with the rest of the Seattle Center campus. Those were kind of some advantages to the Seattle Partners proposal.
Okay.
That they felt did not overcome the fact that they were asking for $250 million public financing, but, you know, were some advantages. And then the other thing that Seattle Partners had the advantage on was a plan for dealing with transportation to and from the arena. And so, you know, these are all things that will have to be worked out. And Mayor Murray did say, you know, if they can't find solutions to them, that, you know, it'd be reason for the city to potentially walk away from this deal, but that he was confident they would be able to figure it out.
Okay. But so what does this mean going forward?
Okay, so is part of this process, in addition to the mayor's office, which has been in charge of making this recommendation based on the request for proposals and the proposals that they received to renovate Key Arena, now the city council gets involved. Because the mayor can't actually execute a deal with Oakview. He needs the city council to approve that.
What do you think the mayor, before you go to that, what do you think the mayor gets out of this? Why has he been so vocal about supporting the group and renovating Key Arena?
Well, first off, it takes care of what the future of Key Arena is. That's a big factor in this, and we'll talk about factors in the decision a little later. But the other aspect is, I think, like all mayors, he sees this as kind of a legacy thing, particularly the fact that the Soto Arena, you know, that deal was negotiated by his predecessor,
yes,
Mike McGinn, who is now, again, running for mayor.
Maybe when he's the mayor again, not necessarily Mike McGinn, maybe Ed Murray will be back too.
Who knows? Interesting, the scuttle is that Jenny Durkin at this point is the favorite.
Really?
In the mayoral race. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, it's a legacy piece. If you're the guy who gets... he doesn't directly, but gets the NHL to Seattle, eventually brings the Sonics back, like, that's going to be You know, whatever else Mike McGinn accomplished, whatever else Ed Murray accomplished in his tenure as mayor, even being, you know, the first openly gay mayor in Seattle history, like the top of the list will probably be, if he gets this done,
yes,
the arena.
He'll have a giant building.
That's the thing that outlasts everything else. So I think that's why, you know, and he said it on an interview with ESPN Seattle today that it isn't personal with Chris Hansen. Whether it's personal or just a skepticism about the plan, he definitely seems to feel differently about it than the city of Seattle at large feels about the Soto Arena's plan. Okay. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so it's out of the mayor's hands now at this point, aside from negotiating these pieces.
Yes, so it's up to the city council, which, if the experience of Chris Hansen negotiating this original deal in 2012 is any indication, you know, they'll be very involved in terms of trying to improve this deal for the city of Seattle. The deal that was initially presented by, at that point, Mayor McGinn and King County Executive Dale Constantine for the Soto Arena was very different from the plan that ended up being executed as a memorandum of understanding. That I think was in January, late January or earlier February, when they started that process, and it wasn't approved until well into the summer, like August or September.
Okay, so when are these votes happening?
So they would, one thing that Ed Murray said today is that they would expect to vote on that in early December. I think maybe December 4th I saw. The Soto proposal will sort of be running on a parallel track. There's not as much to be done by the city council here because of the fact that, you know, it's gone through a lot of this process. The actual design of the arena is pretty much set. The environmental impact study has been done. Really the only thing I think for the council to consider newly here is, you know, how removing the request for public financing affects this plan. And that's a big deal. So,
and this is newly from the previous vote that they turned down.
Right. So they voted against this last May, which kind of set in motion the possibility of renovating Key Arena. And Mayor Murray, in his ESPN interview this morning, you know, kind of said that that suggested to him that the council did not consider Soto a viable plan. And I think that's going way too far. First off, it was a 5-4 vote.
Yes.
It was not exactly a 9-0.
And it was a surprising 5-4 vote.
It was. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of expectation that it was going to be passed ahead of time. But this plan is substantially different. We know how important that public financing aspect is because it's the single biggest factor that killed the Seattle Partners bid.
Yes.
That's the single biggest factor that caused them to favor Oakview over Seattle Partners is the fact that they were requesting $250 million in public financing. So for Chris Hansen to take that out of his proposal, I think significantly changes things.
Okay.
So I guess we should talk now maybe about, you know, what kind of factors we think will probably go into the council's decision between these two plans.
And what will those be?
Yeah. I think the first will be the city's financial participation. And this is, you know, the clearest advantage for the Soto Arena plan because the reinvestment of tax money, the foregoing the construction tax was a one-time thing, and then on an ongoing basis, reinvesting or foregoing a lot of tax that the city and perhaps the county would collect on events at an arena is a big difference. So the Soto Arena is only asking to waive the general admissions tax, which is something that's similar to what has been already done for the Mariners, the Seahawks, the Sounders, the other teams operating in town. The tax breaks that the Key Arena renovation proposal from the Oakview Group are planning go far and beyond that.
So financially, the Soto deal is better for the city.
Yes.
But the Key Arena deal answers the question, what do you do with Key Arena?
So that's question two, or factor number two here, is figuring out what to do with Key Arena if it's not renovated. And, you know, if you figure that the Soto Arena has the financial advantage in terms of the city participation, then you kind of have to weigh that against the cost of figuring out what to do with Key Arena. The estimate has been $100 million, you know, just to get it to a point where it might not even be financially viable and to turn it into kind of a smaller music venue where you could have events that you wouldn't be competing with the Soto Arena. Mm-hmm. That is estimated about $150 million. And then there's a chance potentially for it to be profitable as it currently is. Now, one interesting question I hadn't thought of, and I haven't seen anyone mention this. So part of the Oakview plan, part of how they plan to fund the renovation is to get a $50 million historic tax credit for the fact that Key Arena will be designated a historic landmark, the roof at least. Well, I'm wondering, couldn't that $50 million also go towards that $150 million renovation of Key Arena and, you know, reduce by a third the cost of that to the city? So that's a federal financial incentive. It's not something that money that comes from the city.
And the city could apply for it, or the Oakview Group could apply for it?
I don't know the details on that. That's just something that I popped into my head tonight, and it seems like it's a way that could reduce that cost.
Because if there's $50 million in federal money waiting out there, why are they not doing that?
I mean, it's not necessarily waiting, because it has to get designated a landmark first.
Yes.
It's just that.
And that's part of the renovation plan for this group?
That's part of how they plan to fund the renovations, yes.
Really? What if that doesn't happen? What if federal money for something like this goes away?
So they've said that they plan to backstop it with, you know, they'll cover that if it does not happen.
Okay.
So, I mean, and to go back to the financial participation, you know, the other element of it is kind of the risk to the city. And that's the biggest aspect that is a problem about public financing, because of the fact that, you know, you're putting the city's ability to borrow money on the line, basically.
Yes.
And it becomes more expensive the more money you borrow. So that's why it's important not to have this. I think the one remaining risk, the other financial factor here, is what happens in terms of cost overruns. That's something that Chris Hansen's group has raised as an issue with this Oakview plan. They said that they would not be responsible for cost overruns that are quote-unquote force majeure, like act of God,
okay,
basically. And
what are cost overruns that are force majeure?
I mean,
floods?
That's like the... Well, for example, we saw with the LA stadium that Stan Kroenke and the Rams are building, that they're having to push back the opening by a year because of the fact that there was more rain than expected and they couldn't work as much on the stadium. I mean, I don't... That's not probably an issue here because you're going to budget for a lot of rain.
Yes.
Either way, but that's the kind of thing. And something that Chris Hansen has pointed out.
Is rain an act of God? No, okay.
I'm not a lawyer. I can't speak to exactly. But, you know, if you're digging far under the ground, as they are planning to do to increase the capacity of Key Arena from what it currently is and the footprint, you know, there's a lot of unforeseen variables that could happen.
Yes. Like
if you run into historic artifacts, or, you know, if it turns out to be more difficult.
What if the roof's down there again?
If it turns out to be more difficult to dig down that far than they anticipated.
Yes.
I mean, we see that with the Bertha and
yes,
the difficulty of boring a tunnel through the city. Now, this isn't quite that complex, certainly, but, you know, it's more difficult to build down than it is to build up, which is what the Soto Arena plan would do.
What are some of the other factors?
All right, my number three factor would be transportation, which also encompasses the Port of Seattle and then the other teams. And this is maybe probably one of the most contentious ones. So, you know, the city financial participation clearly favors Soto Arena.
Yes.
The figuring out what to do with Key Arena clearly favors the Oakview plan. This one is a little bit more uncertain. The Port of Seattle issue is a big factor. That's another reason that I think the street vacation was voted down last year. It was basically an opportunity for the Port of Seattle to relitigate the entire process and claim that Occidental was an important traffic mechanism, despite the fact that it's an alley that basically no one drives down.
Okay.
And will apparently be closed off as they build an overpass on Lander Street, if they build an overpass on Lander Street nearby where the arena would be. So that removes another element of claiming that Occidental itself is a major factor. But yes, bringing a lot more traffic into the Soto area is an issue for the Port of Seattle, for local businesses, and for the other sports teams. And one of the things I don't quite have a good grasp on is there's been a lot of reporting that, you know, the council won't really consider the vacation without a binding scheduling agreement between the Soto Arena group and then the other teams down there, the Seahawks, the Mariners, and the Sounders. The Soto group has said that they feel like they do have that in place, and I don't quite understand the disconnect there. That's something we'll hope to figure out more.
I mean, are those teams saying specifically that they don't have that in place? Like, could they block this just right there?
I mean, I'm not sure that they can specifically block a vote, but, you know, they could prevent it from being in favor of this, I think.
Interesting. Nobody asked Russell Wilson.
No, apparently not. Which that could be really interesting if the Seahawks continue to favor, you know, the Oakview proposal because of their ties to Tim Leiweke, and if their star quarterback is on the other team. That's an odd position that you do not normally see in this sort of thing.
So what's the next factor?
Well, no, I think to continue on the transportation, like, clearly there are big challenges with transportation at Seattle Center.
Yes.
It was funny. I drove down there. I didn't realize that they had pushed back the press conference till 2:30 this afternoon. I went down there at 10 a.m., and it was a mess trying to get down there.
Wow, so you had to get on the light rail and then get on the monorail twice?
I really should have. There's construction everywhere on Lower Queen Anne. All sorts of streets are randomly blocked off, which weren't when I went to a Storm game like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Like, I don't really understand it, but clearly a problem. We know that Mercer, the traffic there is an issue. So it's kind of a wild card to me, which is going to be favored in terms of transportation, which is a bigger deal. The impact on Port of Seattle and the other local teams, or the impact on the commute along Mercer and the growth of South Lake Union, aspects like that. I think you could make a case either way, especially because of the fact that, you know, right now, clearly light rail and mass transit is a huge advantage to the SOTO site.
And it's done already.
Yes. But once light rail does eventually come to Seattle Center, then it will be much closer to the arena than it would be in SOTO, and that could potentially be an advantage. So we'll see what the council thinks about all that.
Okay.
All right, so then we get into probably lesser factors. Those are, I think, the three biggest ones. Design quality and then integration with the neighborhood. I think at this point that's a pro for SOTO Arena, which has just gone through this process for years and years, and you know, they've gotten this feedback about what would be good in terms of a plan that, you know, creates open space for people, you know, creates like overhanging sidewalks so that you're not walking in the rain, those sorts of seemingly minor things that
yes.
are factors here.
What about the conversation that we had yesterday where the Uptown Alliance in Lower Queen Anne said that they didn't favor either proposal?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
either of the Key Arena renovation proposals.
Yeah, it said it couldn't recommend either of them. The mayor made clear that, you know, Debbie Fosto, who was representing the Uptown Alliance on the community advisory panel, was the only person who said that they couldn't recommend either of them. So, you know, I think kind of going with the majority there. But again, I do think we're going to see some changes in terms of the design, and then also a lot more details in terms of how they plan to mitigate traffic. The mayor talked about like bus service to offsite parking lots, things like that, as a possible plan to help deal with that before light rail is built.
Okay.
All right. Then the next factor, and it's unclear to me how important this will be, likelihood of securing NBA and NHL teams. I think that Ed Murray has used this as an advantage for the Oakview Group, both relative to Seattle partners, I would say, based on some of the anonymous sourcing, and then also certainly relative to the SOTO Arena. The fact that there are so many NBA and NHL ties in the Oakview Group, I think will be viewed as a positive for them.
Interesting.
And then the fact that they have NHL owners already lined up.
Yes.
If there's one thing that the SOTO group could do to enhance their chances between now and August or September, it would be revealing that they had NHL ownership.
Finding
in place.
An NHL owner.
Revealing that they had NHL ownership okay. in place. I mean, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
Yes.
So they have not said anything about it, but if they did, I think that would be a pretty significant game changer.
And was there... There was news from the NBA today on the NBA front as far as expansion also, right?
Well, not necessarily from the NBA, which has generally stayed quite quiet on this issue, but the mayor did say in that ESPN Seattle interview that he had been told that the NBA did not plan to consider expansion until after the current TV deal, which just kicked in this year and runs through 2024-25. I mean, that's kind of bizarre because all along we were thinking that they had to get this TV deal settled before they
yeah,
determined what they were
the
going to do
TV
with expansion.
Deal.
And now we're just starting it. But, you know, Adam Silver, before game one of the NBA Finals, held his semi-annual State of the Union address and was asked about expansion and said something that kind of lined up with that, that, you know, it's not something they're considering in the short term, which he's been clear on all along. And everyone involved has been clear that, you know, the NHL is coming first.
Yes.
The NBA will come down the line. But that in the long run, he did foresee it happening.
Okay.
So we'll see if that's the actual timetable or, you know, if that's just a random guess at this point. You know, something that's subject to change. I mean, I think the other thing that comes up here is, you know, is Tim Leiweke was saying, we're going to get you a team.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't help but think about what we talked about last week in terms of the Sprint Center in Kansas City and not having that be the case.
He said, quote, we're going to get you a team.
Yes.
Okay.
One and hopefully two. I do think this is different. Like, Bruckheimer.
It could be Seattle U. It could be the Seattle Storm.
Bruckheimer and Bonnerman, they wouldn't be involved if there wasn't going to be NHL.
Yes.
Like, I'm not really realistically concerned about that at this point. It was interesting, you know, at one point during his breakout session with reporters, Tim Leiweke said that, you know, the economics are not viable of this arena without at least one NHL or NBA team, one winter sports team. And then I kind of followed up with him on to ask what was the difference between here in Kansas City, where they found that the Sprint Center was more financially successful without one of those teams. And he answered it by talking about the differences between Kansas City and Seattle as markets and how much more desirable Seattle is from a pro sports franchise standpoint.
Okay.
Which, what I don't know if that was, he didn't understand my question or he was just answering the question he wanted to answer, but I didn't get the answer.
He's
on
like,
why
well, they have a certain type of barbecue in Kansas City that they don't have here in Seattle.
That is true. I mean, we might find it though. We might find it. So the NBA is probably a little bit more questionable, I would say, on the Oakview side. Like, it's very clear with the Soto Agrina group, their number one focus, as Chris Hansen talked about during the panel tonight, their number one focus is bringing the NBA to Seattle.
Yes.
And he talked about, you know, he thinks the majority of fans in Seattle feel the same way.
Yes.
That's more important to them than concerts or the NHL, with all due respect to those things.
Well, and concerts are already happening.
Yes, although it was pointed out repeatedly during the press conference that not that many of them are happening, and that a renovated Key Arena would get many more concerts.
I mean, there's a limit to those things. Like, I guess you're going to take concerts from Tacoma?
Yes.
Okay.
So, bad news, Tacoma Dome. Sorry, dude. But if, you know, the NBA doesn't come along for years down the road, it may then become more difficult for the Oakview group to give up those profitable concert dates, which is the reason, you know, in Sprint Center that they've decided not to bring in, that they've not wanted to bring in teams.
Yes.
And, you know, if the farther it gets down the road, the more difficult it is probably to incorporate NBA ownership into the ownership of the arena so that they can share from those profits in the same way as, you know, Bonnerman and Bruckheimer will.
Which is something that most NBA owners are looking for right now.
It's definitely preferable to have that, yes.
Okay, so these two proposals.
Wait. I had one more.
Okay.
Which is feedback from voters. Like, I tend to take, you know, the council hasn't really talked about this. The only thing we've heard is, you know, Rob Johnson, who did an interview last week on the Seattle Growth podcast, where he talked about kind of viewing these as on parallel tracks, that they'll consider that way. They haven't really talked a lot about, you know, how they'll make a decision specifically, but he did, you know, speak to the importance of hearing from people, and past Seattle Growth podcasts have had something similar. So something that happened when the last street vacation request was being heard by the council is really the Soto Arena group tried to kind of lay low.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of encouraging fans to participate in that process the same way they did when the original deal was being struck, the original memorandum of understanding, when there were these passionate fans at hearings. And they also, I don't think, probably, you know, tried to, you know, network with the council, lobby the council as aggressively as I think they would do if they had to do it over again.
Yes.
I think to some extent they thought they were going to be more successful there than they were.
Yes.
Took it a little bit for granted. This time, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Okay.
Now they've got Russell Wilson involved with this group. He's a great lobbying face and a great rallying point for the fans. And I think this time around, you know, if you're a fan who has a preference between the Soto Arena location in that group and the Key Arena renovation, you're going to have your chance to be heard, and you absolutely should step up and make your voice heard, because I do think that will have an impact on the city council.
Okay, so there are these two proposals. Soto is going to be voted on in August. If the street vacation is voted yes, does that end this proposal for Key Arena?
Probably. I mean, in practice, they'll probably have a pretty good sense at that point standpoint. And I guess it's possible they could postpone that, you know, a street vacation vote. I don't think there's any requirement that they have to hold it within a certain amount of time.
But it doesn't look like there are going to be two arenas coinciding with each other.
It does not appear that there is any interest in that in the Seattle political sphere. I asked Jeff Baker about this on Twitter last week because of the fact that, you know, he said the council must choose between. And the pedant in me wanted to note that, like, they don't definitely have to. They could approve both of them. I believe Mike McGinn has suggested that, you know, they should approve the Soto Street vacation and then figure out what to do with Key Arena and not necessarily make those an either or proposition. But what Jeff Baker said is that Rob Johnson, the council member, had proposed that and that basically he'd gotten shot down.
Okay. The council's not interested in that. Or the arenas are not interested in that.
I mean, again, Chris Hansen has expressed a willingness to have two arenas. The Oakview Group, at no point in the process, has done that.
But they expressed an interest in welcoming Chris Hansen.
They did, which it's tough to know exactly what to read into that. He said that, you know, besides Tim Leiweke publicly making that comment, that he hadn't actually spoken with him privately since the street vacation vote, that they'd only talked once long before that, long before Oakview really got involved in this Key Arena renovation process. So, yeah.
Okay, so the main takeaway from all of this, everything that happened today, all the conversations that happened, is these two proposals are kind of existing on these two tracks very similarly.
Yes.
And nothing really has changed except for Jerry Bruckheimer and
David Bonderman.
David Bonderman coming into this process.
And also Lenny Wilkins is going to be involved with the Oakview Group, rather. It's unclear exactly what his role is going to be. I asked Leiweke about this in that breakout session, and he basically alluded to him serving as a liaison with the NBA League office.
Doing Lenny Wilkins stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just being Lenny Wilkins. Being a good... that's a good person to have on your team, so...
But, I mean, that's very, very minor news in the grand scheme of this.
Yes.
So all of this was coming already. This nothing changed today except for these two new people as most likely hockey owners being added.
Yes.
That's the only difference from today from yesterday.
Pretty much.
So these proposals, nothing is done, right? And it feels like there might be an information campaign coming from the Key Arena Group or supporters of the Key Arena Group saying this is what's going to happen.
I mean, it's definitely in their favor to have it seen that way. Is inevitable.
But the way that it sits right now is there are two proposals and it's all up to the city council. That's it.
Yes. You want me to give percentage chances here?
I think it's too early to give percentage chances. We could do that when we get a little bit closer, when we know the actual dates of these votes. I feel like a lot could change. I mean, things change with these arena proposals very, very quickly. Almost every single week we're having new news about either Soto or the Key Arena proposals.
Yeah, and I would expect both of these groups to try to stay visible and stay in the news. You know, the Soto Arena group has, again, laid low a little bit because, you know, they didn't want to steal the thunder of this, of the other.
Steal the thunder?
No, wow.
I really would like to steal the thunder if that's possible. If that's on the table, I want whatever group is going to do that.
Go Kevin Durant. But I think as this continues to heat up, we'll probably hear more from them publicly in touting the advantages of their proposal. The other thing that, you know, we may see both sides reveal more members to their group. I mentioned that in terms of NHL.
Every week a new member will be revealed.
It's like the reverse Bachelor.
It's going to be like wrestling. People are just going to keep running out.
Yes, I like that. I mentioned that earlier in terms of NHL ownership with the Soto Arena group on the Oakview side. Tim Leiweke did reference bringing in additional local partners.
Okay.
So we'll see about that.
Okay. Okay. So what we have now is we have the competitors.
Yes.
We have the competitors.
The battle is set.
The battle is set. And we have the group who's going to decide this, but nothing is done yet.
No, I mean, you know, if I were the city council, and if I remember, and I hadn't had the chance to vote on this yet, and I was running around hearing people talk about how the Soto Arena proposal is dead and the other proposal is going to win, I would be pretty angry about that because that's not your place. You don't get to say that. That's my place.
Yes.
So that's how I would feel. By the way, I just spoke as a city council member. About how annoying it would be.
It's not your other place to speak as a city council member. As a city council member.
But at least I acknowledged it. At least I acknowledged it.
Okay.
All right. On that note, I think we should probably leave it there.
And we'll continue covering this as each individual member is unveiled from each of these groups.
Yeah,
just
we will.
Constant. They'll be like on one side, and local partner Cafe Vita.
This is a Royal Rumble? Is that what we're envisioning?
Yes.
All right. But yes, so if you're a new listener to the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever else you use to listen to podcasts, because we will continue to cover this as well as the rest of Seattle sports and, of course, burgers.
Mostly just burgers. Yep. And hydroplane racing.
And unlimited hydroplane racing. All right. On that note.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.